Brian Shanahan will be our color analyst. Shanny, how you doing?
Not too bad, Jason. How about you?
Good. Now, before we get to lacrosse, got a lot of guys texting, hey, you're getting Shanny on the show. Let's get the inside dirt. What's the bro got planned with the Maple Leafs?
To win a Stanley Cup in 5 years. It's the long-term plan, but I think they know what they're doing, and you know, there'll be some pain in the meantime. I guess you guys are familiar with that in Edmonton, but I think both these cities should be turning this team around. Although you guys got a good jump with McDavid, that sure helps.
Now, who is a better lacrosse player, you or Brennan?
Honestly, Brennan was a better lacrosse player. Brennan was a superstar lacrosse player, believe it or not. He was a year younger than John Tavares. They were teammates when they were 15 years old, and I'd say Tavares was probably a little better than Brennan, but he was in the same conversation. They were both stars, but I guess he stopped playing when he was about 16 or 17 to focus on the hockey because the paycheck was a little bit better.
Yeah, well, he made a good decision, a Hall of Fame career. You know, held one, you know, fan favorite across the league in how he played the game, for sure. Let's. I guess the big news of the day tonight, of course, Toronto will be without their 50-goal man, Brett Hickey. Just an unfortunate injury, rolled his ankle stepping on a ball in the shoot-around.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be so disappointing for him and for the team. And you know, talking about some of the things The Rock had to do in this game, you know, in my mind was to get more goals out of Hickey last week. He just had one goal. And, you know, that changes that game plan. And he was one of those guys, like you know, all season long, he was a hot shooter. And if he went 1 week where he wasn't shooting too well, he usually came back the next week with four or five. So I was kind of expecting that. He had one goal and 11 shots last week and thought they needed him to have a hot hand this week. And obviously, you know, that's not going to happen. And, well, I mean, you and I were there when we saw him coming out and you know, we heard how brokenhearted he was, and it's a done deal. He's not playing, and you know, there's no chance that he can make a recovery in time for a game. So that definitely hurts The Rock.
Well, it hurts them, and it was interesting listening to John Lovell, their head coach, and he didn't really mince his words, Brian, how he mentioned, he basically challenged, you know, Crowley's got to step up for us now. There's no excuses.
Yeah, and you know what? The Rock, you know, had maybe the best offense for much of the season this year, until, you know, Rob Hellier got hurt. Then they made a late trade for, you know, they traded Garrett Billings for Kevin Crowley. And then Colin Doyle came back from injury. So there was a combination of things that sort of took away the chemistry from an offense that was really clicking, you know, for much of the year. And I don't think Crowley's been bad, but he hasn't overwhelmed either. Last week he had, you know, a kind of a quiet two goals and two assists. He was probably the top scorer on The Rock last week, but yeah, he's never dominated a game, you know, since he came for The Rock. And I don't know if they're expecting him to be dominant, but you know, one of the things that a lot of us have talked about recently is as The Rock went from a six-man offense to a seven-man offense once all those guys came back, you know, Doyle and Hellier got healthy and Crowley got in the mix. And, you know, every week I think it's something they debated with, whether they go back to six guys on offense. And, you know, for many reasons, I felt they should have gone to a six-man offense because, you know, it gets guys like Hellier and Brett Hickey more touches when there's only six guys out there and only three, you know, the extra man was a righty. So they had four righties, and I think you need those two guys who've been the hot hand all year shooting as much as possible. But you're right, you know, Coach Lovell said, you know, he's expecting Crowley to step up this game, so, you know, he's issued the challenge.
Brian Shanahan joins us, analyst on TSN for the NLL. If you're Toronto's offense, how do you attack Edmonton's defense?
Oh, I think you have to keep the ball moving. You know, Edmonton is so good at double teaming, and you know, the last few times they played each other, the Edmonton's, you know, made Toronto pay a few times, and when they double team, you know, you think if you're getting double team, that means somebody's open, but they do it in such a good way that there's no apparent help. By the time two guys are coming at you, you're not going to find where your extra teammate is open because they come at you so quickly. And you know, they use the boards, they corner you. So I think every team in the NLL knows that you can't hold on to the ball too long when you're playing Edmonton. And I think the best way to attack Edmonton is to move the ball quickly, move the ball east and west, and just keep it moving. Don't allow Edmonton to use their athletic size and, you know, their athleticism and their size to, you know, double team you and you know, scoop that ball up. And I guess the other danger from a Toronto perspective is, you know, when Edmonton does double team you and they get that ball, that starts their transition game, and they're one of the best transition teams in the NLL.
Shanny, Robert Church had 92 points in the regular season, missed the last game due to injury. And just you watch the Rush offense, you know, everybody focuses on Mark Matthews, and rightfully so. You know, he's 6'4", 220 pounds, might have the hardest shot in the league, had 115 points in only his third season. But, man, Robert Church might be the most underappreciated guy in the league.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's funny because, you know, when I was preparing for the game last week and looking at the stats, at 92 points, I mean, I knew he had a good season. I didn't realize, you know, that's a very quiet 92 points. You're right. And last week, I thought, you know, he may have been the MVP from Edmonton's point of view last week in that game. You know, Matthews had 3 goals, 3 assists as well, but he got a couple goals in the power play. But I believe Church's 3 goals were all 5-on-5. And really, in the settled 5-on-5, you know, when you take away transition goals and, you know, power play goals, they had 1 shorthanded goal. Church was the biggest contributor out there 5-on-5, you know, against the settled Toronto Rock defense, which is a pretty good defense.
If you're, you know, you talked about the transition of Edmonton, and that was obviously a big key, but offensively, Toronto really, they tried to seal off Mark Matthews below the goal line, and, you know, that opened them up, I thought, to be very vulnerable in the high slot area. Do you think they stick with that? Did you like that decision by them to say, okay, we're just not going to let Matthews beat us 5-on-5?
Well, I think, more importantly to me, is I think they have to match up physically against Matthews because he's so good with that swim move. He's so tall. I don't think you can match up a shorter guy against him. I think you've got to get, you know, a Brody Marl or, you know, Jeff Gilbert or Brock Sorensen against him, you know, big guys, because I just think that otherwise he's too dangerous one-on-one if there's, especially with his swim move and that size differential. So I don't think you necessarily have to try to, you know, keep him right out of the play, but I think you do want to match up size against size when you're playing playing against him. I think he's also a lot more dangerous the ball in his stick. So sometimes it's easier with some guys, not everybody, but a guy like Mark Matthews, though, I think he's easier to cover when he doesn't have the ball. So when he doesn't have the ball, I think you want to keep it out of his stick.
Goaltending. Brandon Miller, Aaron Bold. And, you know, Aaron Bold, of course, playing with a pretty heavy heart this season with his girlfriend Michelle and what she's going through right now. But, you know, Bold, especially in that second quarter, was, you know, I thought was the reason Edmonton ended up winning that game. They got off to a good start, but they had a few breakdowns, and Toronto had great looks right on top of him, couldn't beat him. What do you like best about Bold in between the pipes?
Well, I think when he plays like he did last week, I think he's one of those underrated goalies in the NLL, because we always talk about, you know, what great defense Edmonton has, and they do. And I think because of that, Bold is usually overlooked when it comes to, you know, picking the goaltender of the year, which, you know, always seems to go to Matt Vincent in Rochester. But yeah, last week in that second quarter, he made the saves. I mean, he played well all game. But, you know, there was a point where we were doing the game on TSN where we mentioned that I think the score was like 7-4, 7-3. And we thought, you know, if it wasn't for a few big saves, it could easily be 7-7. And in, you know, in speaking to the Rush coaches today after practice, they said the same thing. They said, you know, there was a spell, and you're right, it was that second quarter where Toronto had a lot of good looks on Bold, and he stopped them all. And I think, you know, that made the difference. And you know, he won the goaltending battle last week, without a doubt. I don't think you lay the blame on Miller for that loss. I don't think he played bad, but I think if you just look at, you know, categories of, you know, goaltender versus goaltender, Aaron Bold won that battle last week. And that brings, you know, me to something else. You know, Coach Lovell said is just the whole compete level of the Toronto team. He thought they got out-competed on very many levels last week, and, you know, and that's, he wants to see, you know, his team bring up their compete level a whole lot from where it was last week.
You look across the board, though, Edmonton's defense, they've got so many big, fast, athletic guys in Rubish and Corbeil and Cornwall and Midsky and John Lynch. Even if Toronto ups their intensity, do you think they can match that defense, just their size and athleticism?
I think they can. I mean, you're not trying to go size and size. I think it's Toronto is such an intelligent team when they move the ball well that they can find holes. And you know, they did the same against Rochester, who I think I would put Rochester, you know, right up there with Edmonton in terms of team defense. They don't push the ball up the floor as much as Edmonton does, but purely from a defensive point of view, I think that Rochester is in the same category or very close to Edmonton. And, you know, Toronto managed to pick them apart once or twice this season when it counted most. But I do think when Toronto really moves the ball quickly, they play better with a lead. When they get a lead and defenses come out and chase, they can sometimes pick a defense apart. We haven't seen that against the Rush this year, other than I think the first time they met. Toronto really did. It was a 16-15 game, which was a shock to all of us. There was a predicting an 8-7 game at the time. And, you know, Toronto had some success then, but they haven't had any success since then.
One last one for Brian Shanahan, analyst for TSN. He'll be on the broadcast tonight, 7:30 on TSN 1 and 4. If you're the head coach of Toronto, you've seen their offense all year. You mentioned the 6-10. The one guy, though, who's out of the lineup is Ross, and he did a lot of the greasy, dirty things, setting hard picks and such. If you're Lovell, do you put Ross in and keep it 7-9, or do you go back to 6-4? Sorry, 6-10.
I think you have to go 6-10, and I didn't get the impression he had made up his mind yet, but I do think you have to go 6-10. And although I've been saying it for weeks, they'd be better off with 6-10. And it's tough because Kevin Ross did everything they wanted him to do all year. I mean, he didn't have great numbers, but he did the little things you mentioned that they wanted, all the greasy work, all the big picks and the loose balls, and he still had over 20 goals. So there was nothing wrong with his game this season. So as much as I'd love to see him in, I think they're better off going 6-10. And, I even said a few weeks ago when Colin Doyle came back, if you put Colin Doyle back in the lineup, you'll have to pull Kevin Ross out because, you can't take Josh Sanderson out or Stephen LeBlanc out. So it's just a matter of there's a lot of good players now that are, fighting for spots. And as tough as it is on Ross, I think if I was coaching, I would go 6-10.
Shanny, we'll see you at the rink tonight.
Excellent, Jason. Thanks very much.